Hello, friend. Welcome to the Whole Word Podcast. This is Pastor Pitts Evans. On this podcast, we read and discuss one chapter of God's Word per episode. Let's go now to the Bible and see what the Lord has for us today. Today, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 21. And before I get into the reading of the text, I want to talk about it a little bit, because this section of Scripture contains what has become known as the Olivet Discourse. Now, this Olivet Discourse is Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives and talking to his disciples about the second coming. And so they ask about the signs of his coming, and he gives a number of them. He talks about false messiahs will be present. There'll be wars and rumors of war and so forth. So this is a parallel chapter to Matthew 24. Matthew also records this conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And this section of time before the return of the Lord has become known as the Great Tribulation. The word tribulation is used in the King James. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. It does not use the word tribulation, but it does talk about there being trouble and pressure. The Greek word that's translated as tribulation in the King James literally means pressure. So there'll be pressure on all mankind. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes in various places. And Christians will be persecuted, and many will fall away as a result of the persecution and the pressure. Of course, wickedness will increase. This is a common theme for the day of the Lord. But ultimately, we'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power. And so we need to be praying, friends, that we would be found ready when the Lord comes. Now, listen carefully as I read this chapter now. It begins with a little discussion of Jesus observing a poor widow giving her offering in the temple, and then it moves right into the Olivet Discourse. So Luke chapter 21. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All of these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she has to live on. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you're not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am he. The time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will even put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts might be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Jesus explains initially that heaven's perspective of our giving is not the same as a human perspective. He tells this story, or the gospel writer tells this story in verse 1. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts in the temple treasury. So notice Jesus was observing people putting their money into the temple treasury. In verse 2, he also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others. All of these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And so heaven's perspective is very individualized for each of us. This lady, this poor lady, couldn't afford to give tremendous resources into the kingdom. But she had 2 small copper coins, and she gave both of them into the temple treasury. And Jesus acknowledged this gift as being a very, very significant gift. Now, you and I might look at 2 pennies, for example, and say, why did you even bother to put that in the offering? But the Lord looked at these 2 small copper coins or pennies, and he realized this was all the woman had. And so it was the equivalent of a rich person giving away all of their great riches and putting them in the treasury. To heaven, it looks one and the same. It's according to our ability to give and the heart motivation in our giving. The Lord is observing how we give, friends, and you need to be careful to use your resources to gain friends and influence for Jesus Christ. You need to be sowing into ministries that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, the Lord is interested in these things. Don't kid yourself. I know that there are charlatans out there that try to separate people from their money. I'm not talking about that. You need to be diligent and research who you're giving your money to. But you need to entrust the Lord's money into the Lord's kingdom for the Lord's purposes, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be exalted on earth. And then some of the disciples remarked about the temple, and they were talking about how beautiful it was and so forth. And Jesus said, what you see here, the time will come when it'll all be destroyed. And they said, well, when's this going to happen? What'll be the sign that it's about to take place? And so he doesn't give them one sign, he gives them many signs. In verse 8, he says, watch out that you're not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I'm he. And so there are going to be false messiahs coming that claim to be Jesus. He warns us not to follow them. He goes on to say, when you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen, but the end will not come right away. And so there are always wars and rumors of wars, but this is talking about a period of time when this will be accelerated. There will be continual war and rumors of war. Additionally, he adds, nation will rise against nation. In Greek, this is ethnos, or ethnic group, will rise against ethnic group. This is talking about strife, racial division. And if we've ever noticed racial division more intense than it is in our nation right now, I don't know when it would have been. But it's been ginned up, friends, and we need to pray that the nation would not be divided over racial issues, nor would the world be divided over racial issues. There is one humanity, both Jew and Gentile. The Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek in the kingdom. And so we're all one in the eyes of God, equal before God. We need to put away racial divisions and strifes. And as Christians, we need to focus on the King and the kingdom. So it continues, there will be great earthquakes, there will be famines, pestilences. Pestilences are like Ebola, this kind of thing, rising up, fearful events, and then great signs from heaven. This is a continuing theme all through the scriptures, Old Testament and New. There will be great signs in heaven. But Jesus says in verse 19, stand firm in this period of time and you will win life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you know its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. There will be great distress in the land. Now, this is the great tribulation expression in another version. Great distress and wrath against the people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And so Jesus cautions us to always be on the watch, to always be ready, to always be praying that we may be able to stand before the Son of Man on that day. So, Lord, I pray that we would be careful, that we would not be found carousing or drunk or filled with the anxieties of this life. Lord, we would be focused on King Jesus and his kingdom. Lord, may we be able to escape what's coming on the earth in terms of the judgment falling on us. May we stand before the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a clear conscience, knowing that we've done all we could to stand in faith. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Whole Word. It was brought to you by Whole Word Fellowship and the Northern Virginia House of Prayer. If you were encouraged, please share our podcast with your friends. We'd also appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app and take a few moments to write a review. If you'd like more information on our church and our ministry, you can go to wholeword.net or wholewordpodcast.com for more information. Thank you again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you today and always.